This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
You can tell it's almost basketball season by the participation in our the chatty house.
Yeah, the chatty house is a lot.
The usual suspects are there, but then you start to see some other people roll in. Well, maybe maybe they're tapped in during non-basketball season, but they know that 1 week from today we will have basketball that counts.
It's happening,
guys. At Golden One Center. A, I'm happy the season opener is at home this year. B, I'm happy it's against a good team. I'm happy that it'll be a fun game where we can just get an early look at, okay, hey, here's the Kings, here's the Timberwolves. Two teams that figure to be in the playoff picture in the West. Excited to see what it looks like on game one, and then excited to see how that matchup evolves.
Yeah, I'm always intrigued to look at the teams early in the season and see who's meshing and who's not. And then there's always that question, like, how come that team is meshing faster than this team? And so I'm really intrigued to see what that team looks like, what Minnesota looks like with Julius Randle, what they look like with Dante DiVincenzo,
sure.
What the Kings look like with DeMar DeRozan.
Dante DiVincenzo getting spicy against the Knicks the other night.
He's getting spicy just in general. Like,
bearded Dante is...
Dante DiVincenzo is one of the most intense players that I've dealt with.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he's just like, he's all about business. Like, very much like an intense dude.
I love it.
Yeah.
I am just very quietly going to be a Dante DiVincenzo guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I think he's a heck of a player. Yeah. I think, you know, the Kings would have, like, he would have been made a nice addition to just hold on to.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Bygones.
But before we get to the regular season, we got to wrap up the preseason. The Kings preseason finale is tonight against the Clippers at the Intuit Dome down in Los Angeles. I know it's preseason. I need a win tonight, man. I just need but seriously, I know it's not like they're eliminated from the playoffs if they lose, but you're playing the Clippers. It's no Kawhi Leonard. I assume starters are going to play.
I would think so.
I would that would be my guess. I just need a W. Can I get that runway going into the regular season? Can you go beat the heck out of a banged up Clippers team?
Yeah. Please? In all honesty, I think the Kings could use some good vibes. I think that their fan base could use some good vibes. I also think you're going up against a Clippers team with an owner that wants nothing more than to see, you know, one of the first games in his building become a win.
Yeah.
And so I think the Clippers are going to be slightly motivated. I think the Kings should be motivated.
Yeah.
You know?
You can, dude, okay, look, because the Clippers were the Kings' opponent in their first ever game here in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And the Clippers beat the Kings. The headline in the paper the next day was Coronation Clipped. That's a fact.
Oh.
So you can go into their building, their debut in their new building, and you can give it back to him 40 years later. Come on. Come on. That's what I'm talking... Oh, man. My buttons still aren't working.
Is
here
that-
we go. Come on. Really? Oh, because they're not turned on. There we go. There we go.
Uh, Now I need to look this game up. Is this a Derek Smith game?
Dude, I don't know. I know the headline and that they lost. That's all I got for you as far as info on the Kings Clippers.
I do believe that this is the game that Derek Smith, yes, the late great Derek Smith goes off for 36 points. She's 14 of 19 from the field, tears up the Kings. And then what do the Kings do to respond? They trade for Derek Smith, who has bad knees and barely ever plays for the Sacramento Kings.
Oof.
Yeah. So, yeah. He.
Wait, so this isn't their debut at the Intuit Dome?
It's possible that they played on earlier this week.
Man, I'm so confused on their schedule. Okay, they did play there earlier this week.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I take it all back. The Kings don't need to win anymore. Thank you to Jill Adge for the assist there.
Yeah, prior to the 1986 season, the 85-86 first year in Sacramento, 86-87 second year, the Kings traded Junior Bridgman and Franklin Edwards. The Kings traded Larry Drew, Mike Woodson, a 1988 first round pick, which ended up being Hersey Hawkins, and a 1989 second round pick, which was Jay Edwards, for Derek Smith, Junior Bridgman, Franklin Edwards. So, again, game one in Sacramento ever. Derek Smith blew up the Kings. The Kings went and traded for him afterwards. And then he played very few games for the Sacramento Kings because he had knee issues.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's it.
History.
Very good. I know that, again, it's preseason. The games don't count. How you play in October and into November and certainly through January into February matters a lot more than how you play here on October 17th.
Yes.
But it'd be good for the vibes.
Look,
they played well in the two first halves against Golden State. Didn't pull out wins in those games, whatever. It's mostly bench guys through the second half. You come home and you play Portland and yuck. And then you go to Utah and you played pretty well. Didn't come up with a win. Shot 34 more times than Utah did.
Solid performance, yeah.
Now put it all together, just get a W.
Okay.
I just feel a lot better if they got a win. That's all.
I think everyone would. Like, I feel the angst of the fans. Like, my Twitter feed is filled with, like, very, very frustrated and, like, people who are stressing out over preseason games, and it's like, man, can we calm down?
I think there's a spectrum because there's that for sure. But I've also seen the none of this matters. Why does anyone care? Call me on October 24th, people.
Yeah.
I
know typically I get that during preseason. People are like, why are you doing six quick thoughts during preseason? It's like, because
you got thoughts.
I'm just like the players. I need to get ramped up and ready for a season.
1,000%.
I got to be able to write quickly. And
it would be a great bit if during the preseason you ramped up six quick thoughts. Like six quick thoughts, but it's just one thought just after the first game. Two games, okay, we're going to go two thoughts. Third game, two and a half. Here's two, and then here's like half a thought on Malik Monk.
Yeah.
And moving on.
I definitely have to go through and like make sure that I'm like looking at my typos and all that stuff because I bust through those things so quickly that I'm trying to get them up onto, I email those to myself and then cut them into, because you can't do a thread the way I do that online, on a desktop. You have to do the thread, how I build the thread for six quick thoughts only works on the phone.
Huh.
Yeah. So
why don't you just tweet them out individually? Like tweet one, then reply to yourself.
Because it doesn't stack them the same way when you do that if you're on desktop versus the phone.
Boy.
So I cut them into my, I cut and paste from my phone into a Twitter.
How many people do you think read these things on a desktop?
Well, I don't know, but
is it worth the extra work for you for those few people who are viewing it on a desktop?
Well, no, because
I'm trying to help you right now.
It's not that. It's not that it looks different for them. It doesn't form the same way. Like sometimes they're out of order. Like like I've tried it both ways and it just doesn't string them together the same way.
So you write them
in an email to myself. I send the email to myself. I open the email with my phone. I cut each individual one, cut and paste from my email, from my phone to Twitter. And I do all of this in the final minute of the game as I'm watching it unfold. And then I have to change a couple of stats here and there. But I've got the list of like six of them. Well, seven, because I have my intro. It's not easy, Kyle.
Yeah, no, clearly.
But you know what? People don't want to read game recaps anymore. And it's my version of a game recap. And yeah, to be honest, they're wildly popular.
Man. There's somebody... when I was not interviewing people, but talking to people to write at Niners Wire.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, do you have any clips of stuff you've written? And they sent me like six game recaps they wrote of their college team. It's like, dog.
Okay, so
gamer's fine. What else you got?
Yeah. No, it's tough because like I know a lot of people are just using AI to do a lot of that stuff now. And it's funny. I went to... years ago, the Sloan Analytics Conference at MIT, when I owned an ESPN blog, they sent me to MIT to go see the Sloan Analytics Conference, which was amazing. And some of the smartest people that you're ever going to run into. And they were telling us then that they have, like, you got a bunch of reporters there, and they're telling you, yeah, we've got this this program that can write your game recap. And we're like, okay, we don't want that. Like, no, we don't want that because that's what we do. It's like,
but also, like, Doug, I watched the game.
Yeah.
I don't need, it's nice when it's, that's what I do with a lot of NFL stuff.
Yeah.
Is I'll watch highlights and then you go read game recaps. But even then, I would so rather read a beat writer's, like, hey, here's my six takeaways.
Yeah.
Then in the second quarter, a fumble swung the momentum. When such and such took over at the 50.
Yeah.
Like, ugh.
No, yuck. It's tough. I mean, what you're trying to capture, like in a game recap, at least in my book, and in six quick thoughts, are interesting tidbits to each player. Just like very quickly, the people who mattered in the game.
Sure.
And so, I don't want to ever run full game recaps.
No, yuck. When I was doing TitansWire.com, that's how I got in at USA Today.
Mm-hmm.
And salute to Jill Adge. She posted a couple of stats in the chat that we will be getting to shortly in regards to the Kings preseason. But when I first started at Titans Wire, you know, you're just following every beat writer. And I will never forget this dude. Paul Kaharski is his name. I think he was with the Tennessean at the time. Doesn't matter. Anyways, he would do after every preseason game, he would do a post called Something on Everybody. And it was all 90 players on the roster, assuming all 90 played. It was however many played in the game, 84 players.
Oh.
And he would go through and write something about every single player.
But like a sentence?
Or? Yeah, some guys it was, it would be like, played on special teams, missed a tackle.
Okay.
But I don't, like, no thanks. That means you're rewatching that preseason game like multiple times? Because during the game, you know, Marcus Mariota, easy to get. DeMarco Murray, easy to get. Derrick Henry, that's easy. Who is there? Corey Davis, that's easy. Like their receiver at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's easy stuff to get. Delanie Walker, Niners legend. Because during the game, they're going to be super involved. But all the guys who play like on special teams, you've got backup linemen you got to go watch. Like, dude, big thumbs down. That's a no thank you.
No, that's very difficult. It's funny. Somebody asked in the chat if Monty McNair and Mike Brown were at the Sloan Analytics Conference. Pre-Kings and David Jackson chat. I will tell you that Daryl Morey puts on the Sloan Analytics Conference and he was sort of the headliner. And so, yeah, that's the first time I met Daryl Morey. Anyway.
So were Monty and Mike Brown there?
I doubt Mike Brown was, but I would be very surprised if Monty McNair wasn't there. Yeah, we just didn't know who Monty McNair was at that time.
Same. Back to the Kings needing to get a win.
Yep.
Jill Adge in the chatty house again. Salute to her for these stats. Since 2013, teams to go undefeated in preseason are 11-5 to the over on their win totals. Currently, teams undefeated in the preseason, Celtics, Warriors, Knicks. That's according to Matt Moore, HP Basketball on Twitter.
Oh.
Since 2013, so over the last 10 years, teams to go winless in the preseason are 7-3 to the under. That is currently the Nuggets, Mavericks, Cavs, Magic, and Kings. Need that dub.
Yeah.
I need a win tonight.
Okay. Good old Matt Moore. I think Matt, actually, I can tell you, Matt Moore, that's the first time I met Matt Moore in person was at the Sloan Analytics Conference in like 2012.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Matt Moore's fun.
I feel like the Sloan Analytics Conference is one of those things that sounds more fun than it is.
It depends. Like, I think when I was there, like, there were people, young people writing, like, incredible pieces on, like, injury predictions and stuff like that. And, like, just, like, the think tank that's there, like, the brains and the presenters. Like, some of it's drab and some of it's like, okay, this isn't, like, something that I think anyone would ever use.
Sure.
But a lot of those guys go straight from MIT straight into basketball front offices because they're just, some of the best of the best of the best thinkers that you're going to find in the world. So
it's just one of those things, like, they're so smart that it all goes over my head. Like, the how and the why go over my head.
Yeah.
Just let me know the what. Like, let me know, okay, you have broken down this. I'm going to trust you, MIT guy, who got hired immediately by the Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to trust you to have done all this correctly. Tell me what your stat means. Tell me what your research found in relation to whatever thing they've studied, whatever numbers they've crunched. Let me know the end. I just need to know the conclusion. I'm sure they went through all the what is it, like, hypothesis, and you got to do the experiment and all the scientific process steps. I just need the conclusion, bro. That's all. For my purposes, I'm not going to be smart enough to understand all this other stuff. Get me the conclusion. That's all I care about.
I totally agree, but I'd also point out that that's, I think, one of the brilliance of Monty McNair is his ability to, swim in both pools. So he is somebody who can understand that part of it. I mean, he's a Yale grad. He's, you know, absolutely a super smart guy. But then he's also someone who early in his career, it was his job to take whatever the analytics team is building and go over to the coach's room and say, this is what our numbers are telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't just look at the numbers. This is why we would do what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, okay. So, and we're running into this specific season where Monty McNair said, hey, I really do believe the numbers back up that you need to crash the offensive glass.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike's like, okay, go ahead and explain to the room why. And he said, when he got done, it was like, okay, like, your explanation, he said it took a couple of these conversations for them to really commit to it. But now it's like, okay, we get it. We get it why it matters if we can get 3 or 4 extra possessions a game. Not 34.
But, sure. But, was it 20 offensive rebounds the other night?
Yeah, they broke everything. Like, the, you know, Monty's like, I told you. Like,
see, this is where I understand the process, and I understand why, if in my head, they all meet in a conference room at the Kings facility, and it's Mike Brown and the coaching staff and the front office staff and analytics guys and Vivek and whoever, and they're all in a room. And Monty gets up at the front and he goes, I think we should offensive rebound more. Like, to me, it's just like, sure. No explanation needed.
Okay.
The analytics are 3 to 4 extra possessions is better than not having 3 to 4 extra possessions. Cool.
That's right.
But I know there's more to it, that, like, this puts you in this kind of disadvantage defensively, but you can do X, Y, and Z, and it's, the numbers bear out that more offensive rebounds outweighs the risk of fast breaks by the other team or whatever it is.
Yeah, totally.
But it just, when you break it down, it's like, I always joke about how the analytics revolution in basketball comes down to, like, 3 points are worth more than 2 points.
Yeah, totally.
And I know there, again, there's definitely more to it than that. But when you break it down to the basest element, it's, hey, you can shoot it from 19 feet for 2 points, or you can scoot back to, like, 22 feet and it's worth 3 points.
Yeah.
Oh, great. We'll just do that.
Yeah. I have been corrected. It's Princeton, not Yale. Monty went to Princeton, not Yale. I mean, the basics of analytics are very simple. And it's why, like, the Hack-a-Shaq or the Hack Dwight Howard, like, it doesn't ever really work out. Like, on occasion, you'll get a guy who goes on a bad streak and misses all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you foul a guy every single time and he's a 40% shooter, it's basically the same point per possession as if he's shooting a mid-range jump shot.
Yeah.
It's worth 0.8 points per possession.
Right.
If he's just a 40% foul line shooter,
yeah,
which is the worst of the worst of the worst. So yeah. If you have a guy who is a 60% free throw shooter, mm-hmm. right? You know, for a lot of last season, Domantas Sabonis.
Sure.
If you decide to foul him every possession, it's the equivalent of shooting a corner three. It's worth 1.2 points.
Yeah.
So that's like one of the worst plays you could possibly do is to just give a guy a free wide open, not even anyone running mm-hmm. at him. He's standing at the free throw line, two free throws.
Yeah.
So just interesting stuff.
Yeah, I think it's interesting too, just with this whole analytics thing while we're here. I got this argument on the internet, if you can imagine that. During the National League Division Series, it was game five. It's Brewers Mets.
Okay.
And the Brewers starter is cooking. I forget who it was. But he goes through like six innings and they pull him.
Oh yeah.
And the idea was, hey, this guy this season, when he faces a lineup for the third time, that lineup rakes. Like second time through the order, they're hitting 202 against him with like a 301 on base. But then the third time through the order, opposing teams hit like 380 against him with like a 410 on base.
Hmm.
And the argument was, I was looking at that and I go, that's very obvious. You're going to pull that pitcher in this spot, especially when you're the Brewers and you have a good bullpen. You're obviously going to pull your starter in this spot. But the pushback I got from people was like, you need to stop looking at computers and start watching the games. It's like, I'm watching the game.
Yeah.
But the computer watches every inning, every pitch. And in this particular scenario, it's a bad idea to have this pitcher historically over a large season-long sample size have him face the order a third time. Mm. It seems very obvious to me. And you have numbers that back it up. And, oh, you and your numbers. It's like, it's basics. Batting average and on-base percentage are not advanced stats.
Yep.
Hitters get better when they face it. So that's the other thing is I think there's a, with the whole analytics thing, there's a push-pull of, you have to, if one game, I'm throwing out a hypothetical. This is not a thing the Kings would ever do, but please bear with me. If over one game, the Kings went, hey, we've lost four in a row. We're going to start DeMar DeRozan at the five and Alex Len at the two. Just again, insane thing on purpose.
Yep.
And their offensive rating is 200 with that group on the floor. That's not a sign to go, hey, that's the new starting lineup, right? That's a very small sample size over however many minutes, and nobody's going to look at the analytics from that group over 4 minutes and go, hey, this should be the new starting lineup, because everybody would know that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened. They fell backwards into it working. And there's such a difference between, hey, over a period of time, that was the whole thing with Draymond Green playing center for the Warriors. It was this wild thing to have this 6'5", 6'6" guy playing center. But Steve Kerr came out and he was like, look, over this many minutes when he's at center, our offensive rating is this, our defensive rating is this, so this is how it's going to go. And they kept rolling with it. It wasn't a one-game thing.
Yeah.
And so that's where the push-pull of, okay, hey, here's the analytics over this sample. We're going to follow this versus, hey, you know what? The analytics say Kevin Huerter in the final 3 minutes of games shoots 10%, but you know what? He's 8-for-9 right now. Mm-hmm. And he is scorching hot. He's going to stay in the game. You know, that's probably a better example of the push-pull of analytics versus like gut.
It's all about sample size, mm-hmm. right? And that's always the problem. That's why four games of preseason, the Kings have shot 24% or 25% from three.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really matter. Like right. They can come out in game one of the regular season where everyone starts at zero mm-hmm. and until they shoot a three, and then they can go 20 of 42 and all of a sudden they're, you know, shooting 47% from three or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way it goes. And so you need to build off of something bigger. And that's also why teams guard Kevin Huerter more than they guard mm-hmm. Keon Ellis, because Kevin Huerter has shot X amount of threes versus Keon Ellis, who shot X amount of threes at the NBA level.
Mm-hmm.
They know that Kevin Huerter hits, you know, so many threes, and you know they're still waiting to see if the sample size of Keon Ellis as a player continues.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting stuff. Again, somebody in the chat, I don't know who is it, Ari? He said that the Kings are signing Antoine Davis to an Exhibit 10 contract. I don't know if that's the case or not.
I'll bite.
But
who's Antoine Davis?
Antoine Davis is a player who, a point guard who played for the Portland G League team last year. So if you're going to sign him to an Exhibit 10, that would mean that you were giving him a little bit of money and then you're going to trade for his G League rights and have him be part of your program. But I don't know if that's the case. And it would make sense because the Kings brought in Jim Morin as one of their assistants, who was the head coach of the Portland G League team last year. But yeah, I have no idea if that's the case. But we'll have to see.
I'm going to be 100% upfront. I have zero thoughts on any of this.
That's fine.
I don't.
I don't either. I'm just looking, you know, like at, someone wants to point something out in the chat. It's like, okay, that's fine. I'm only, whether they did or not, I have no idea. But I also mentioned last week that at the end of camp here, we're probably going to see the Kings like wave a couple of guys and then sign a couple of guys and then wave those guys.
Yeah.
And people are confused by that. It's because you're giving them an Exhibit 10 contract and the Exhibit 10, like 50,000, $75,000 in guaranteed money. And then when you waive them, they go to the G League, they get that money if they stick around. And it's just a way to give guys a little bit more money.
Okay, good for Antoine Davis. I hope he gets his bag. Thursday Night Football Week 7 of the NFL begins tonight. Broncos at Saints. I don't think there's a more second screen game on the NFL calendar than this one. Yuck.
It's tough, man. I think we're
like this is going to be, this is a second screen game where like maybe by halftime it's a, I'll check the box score after the game.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of want to see Spencer Rattler play.
Yeah, sure.
He's fun.
I'll watch the first half. Bo Nix is a little bit intriguing. Spencer Rattler's a little bit intriguing. Okay, I'll watch for the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But this has such huge AFC South energy to me. Broncos Saints.
I think it speaks everything to my fantasy football team that I'm contemplating whether I should pick up Spencer Rattler and start him tonight instead of Mahomes against the 49ers this weekend. Confidence is shook in Patrick Mahomes.
I can imagine why.
Just saying. Hasn't been good.
That's why this is so annoying. Because Patrick Mahomes is not playing well this year. 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. I shouldn't say Patrick Mahomes isn't playing well. The Chiefs offense as a whole is just not, has not gelled yet. But they're going to come out here after their bye week. They're going to go into Levi's Stadium. They're going to look like the Chiefs again. They're going to win 27-17. And the Niners are going to just continue to roll around in mediocrity while everyone's like, wow, the Chiefs figured it out. Andy Reid, after the bye week, they've done it again. And then they're going to go 15-2, and they're going to go win another Super Bowl. And it's all going to be like, wow, that week 7 get right game against the Niners. I'm already annoyed.
Kyle.
It's all playing out up here. I already hate it. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. We got plenty of King stuff to get into. We didn't dig all the way into the NBA rank stuff from ESPN. They released our top 10 NBA players for this season. We'll continue getting into that. I think we got as far as Keegan Murray yesterday. And then there's 4 other players on the list that that we got to get to. We've got a ton of King stuff. And I think that's... and Giannis said a funny thing. Giannis told Sam Amick a funny thing. Time to get to in the next couple hours. He's James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, and we're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, here on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Center.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Did you want to continue your Antoine Davis deep dive?
No.
Okay.
No, it's okay. He shot a lot of threes at the college level.
Can't wait to watch him in Stockton this year.
Yeah.
Good for him. I was listening to a podcast on the way in today, and they were just talking about the West and the Western Conference, and they started mentioning, so it started with the Nuggets. And they basically said that if Jamal Murray gets hurt or is banged up, the Nuggets would be screwed. Mm-hmm. And then they said, well, that would be the case for any of their key guys. Like even Aaron Gordon goes down, the Nuggets don't have the depth to withstand the loss of Aaron Gordon. And certainly of Nikola Jokic and certainly of Jamal Murray and probably of Michael Porter Jr. And then they started going through, and they were like Anthony Edwards in Minnesota, and LeBron or Anthony Davis with the Lakers, and every team had this like one guy that if they lose them, that team is hosed.
Mm-hmm.
And my knee-jerk reaction was, well, because to me, De'Aaron's the 1A, and on the Kings, and I was like, well, man, if the Kings are without De'Aaron Fox for 2 weeks, if he says I'm taking a 2-week sabbatical from basketball, I think the Kings would be fine. So then I started to go through and I'm like, is there a player they could lose that would derail their season in that way? Where we talk, if the Timberwolves lose Anthony Edwards or if the Lakers were without LeBron James for however much time.
Mm-hmm.
And Domas, I think, is the only player that if the Kings, if he said, I'm taking a month-long sabbatical, I'm not going to play basketball for a month, I'm going and I'm hanging out in Europe, Greece, or wherever rich mm-hmm. people vacation. And Domas was the one player that I didn't think there was a like logical fix for. Like if De'Aaron goes out, okay, it's more Malik Monk, it's more DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan is out for a couple of weeks. It's more De'Aaron, it's more Malik. You figure it out. But they just don't. There's nobody that can really do. Well, certainly nobody on their roster. Not that many people in the NBA that can do what Domas does for the Kings. And I just, if he's out, I don't know, if he dips for a month, I don't know what they do.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge problem. You can see that they just, I mean, the problem is that Domas is so unique.
Yeah.
Right? And the way that they run their offense is so unique.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all run through Domas. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't have him, that's asking a lot out of Alex Len. And like, I don't know that there's a world in which Alex Len could play more than 20 minutes a game. And stay healthy long term.
Not night after night. No.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe. I mean, Alex does keep himself in great shape. He's worked really hard to shake the injuries that he had when he was a young player. But at the same time, the DHO game, the nonstop running the ball through him, the fact that he leads the league in rebounds, and then he averages 8 assists per game.
Yeah, you would have to do, everything would have to be different.
Yeah, you would have to reinvent yourself on the fly, which is a difficult idea.
And real quick, before you continue, I want to make this really clear. This isn't a flaw. I don't present this as a like, wow, the Kings have a real problem if they lose one of their best players. Like, yeah, that's the case for every team in the league. This was just, I thought Domas specifically was the one guy that like, okay, he's, if you're picking one player on every team. It's Domas for the Kings.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just wanted to make it clear that wasn't. Go on.
Please. No, totally. I mean, he's a one of one. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but you've designed everything around him. So mm-hmm. even a guy like Anthony Edwards, like you have scorers that can step up and give you that, right? Mm-hmm. But it's almost like if you lose your defensive anchor and like, you know, for as much as, again, I don't care to watch Draymond Green as a basketball player, mm-hmm. there's no question that the Warriors' defense is 500 times better when he's on the court than when he's off.
It's not even close.
It's not even remotely close. Yep. Like his ability to yell and scream and direct traffic and to rotate and do all the things that you have to do as like a defensive floor general are elite. And if you don't have him, you would be in a lot mm-hmm. of trouble. And that I think it goes for most teams that kind of build their team around one type of player. I think, you know, again, we've seen over the last couple of years, the Clippers can survive without Kawhi Leonard, or in the past they could. I don't know if they can this year.
Yeah, because, no Paul George makes that tough.
Yeah, no Paul George, no Russell Westbrook. Like, they don't have the scoring punch that they used to have. And the fact that, you know, James Harden just maybe isn't the same player that he was before. Mm-hmm. Averaged less than 17 points a game last season and would have to, like, instantly jump up to, like, 28 points per game for you to keep functioning. But the way that Domas steps onto the court and is so, like, he is the Kings' everything, I think he would be the most difficult player to replace.
Yeah, man, there's just the statistical production. And then just like you said, it's not just because if De'Aaron Fox says, I'm dipping out for a month, I'm going to go on sabbatical. And that's just, is Malik Monk as good of a player as De'Aaron Fox? No, but he can do a lot of the same stuff within the offense. You're not fundamentally changing who you are. You remove Domas, it's like, all right, hang on, scrap everything about the offense. We're redoing everything on the fly mid-season.
Yeah.
And you're losing out on 8 assists a game and 14 rebounds a game and 20 points a night. Like, that's just, that's a lot of production to replace, and it's the hub of your offense mm-hmm. is getting rid of that. And so that's why, but you brought up something interesting when we were talking about this earlier that I had not even considered. And that was where Keegan Murray falls in this conversation. Because while Keegan might be down the list of players the Kings are going to go to on a nightly basis in mm-hmm. terms of like offensive options, removing, I almost think that they could withstand a Monk or Fox absence based on what you brought up. It might be easier to withstand a Monk or Fox absence than a Keegan one.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I'm explaining what you said correctly.
Yeah. So I don't think you can't lose Monk and Fox at the same time.
But yeah.
But if you were to lose one of those guys, like again, if Fox were to go down for, he missed 9 games last season, right? I think the Kings mm-hmm. were 4-5 in games that he missed. If I like my quick math, 3, 4. Yeah. I think they're 4-5 in games that he missed. Something like that. If you were to lose him for, you know, say 2 weeks, you would probably see, you know, McLaughlin step into the starting lineup,
mm-hmm.
but Monk play 30 plus minutes, 32 minutes a night. And he can't emulate exactly what De'Aaron Fox does, but he can do a lot of what Fox does. And so you have that covered. I think if you lose Keon Ellis, you would have, again, either McLaughlin or someone else would step in the starting lineup. Like if Kevin Herter's healthy, whatever. Sure. Like, and you can go around. I think the one other person, and we talked about this with the 49ers, like I think that the most valuable player on the 49ers is not a quarterback. It's not McCaffrey. They haven't looked good without McCaffrey. They're 3-3 without him. But it's Trent Williams. If you don't have Trent Williams,
host.
I think that team is absolutely mm-hmm. host. The second most important player, it might be McCaffrey, but it also might be Fred Warner. And mm-hmm. I think if you didn't have Fred Warner, the 49ers would probably be like 2-4, maybe mm-hmm. 1-5. Like mm-hmm. just what he's done this season shows you his value. Keegan Murray for me is that guy because the Kings do not have another player like him that can defend multiple positions, mm-hmm. that can like consistently shoot the way that he does, that kind of, I don't think he's replaceable on this current roster. And it's because you don't have another 6'8" long wingspan, you know, strong guy that can defend LeBron James one night and Kevin Durant another night, but then chase Steph Curry another night.
Mm-hmm.
As of right now, you just don't have another player like him. And again, I think Trey Lyles would probably step into the starting lineup, but what would that mean? And yeah. I don't know that it would be great.
Was that important 49ers non-Purdy addition?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think, I mean, yeah, Brock Purdy's important, but I don't think he...
Dog. Come on.
No, no, I mean, I get it. If they don't have Brock Purdy, they're in a bunch of trouble.
Yeah.
But I still think that Brock Purdy is like, you know, quarterbacks aren't just replaceable, but you would have to figure something out. I don't know, like levels of importance, I still believe that the other two are more important.
I think they're 0-6 if Brandon Allen is their starter right now.
But maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
It's possible. You know, maybe they would have already gone through Brandon Allen's Josh Dobbs
time.
We're going to need you to go win us like a game or two.
Did you see Josh Dobbs is in a commercial right now as the backup, the backup husband, handyman guy? Like, it's a husband and wife, and husband's trying to hang this photo, and he's like really struggling to do so. And so they call in the backup, and it's Josh Dobbs. And he comes in and helps him hang up the picture. And I thought that was crazy.
I love that for him. I do too.
The fact that he's a backup quarterback, but he's getting paid. He's getting this endorsement deal.
All right.
Shout out to the Pastronaut.
He's probably making more in that endorsement deal than Brock Purdy is for this season. I'm just kidding.
Ooh. Might be, though.
Yeah.
A whole television commercial that runs a lot?
Yeah.
He probably is.
There you go.
Brock's making I think he's still at less than $1 million.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. It was funny listening to him talk about that at camp this year. He got asked about basically dealing with fame and dealing with the fact that 2 years ago he could have gone anywhere in the Bay Area and nobody would have given it a second thought. And now he can't go outside of his apartment kind of thing. And he's talking about, and he basically goes, because I don't make that much money. He was basically saying that like security and privacy cost money.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I don't make that much money. And my immediate thought was like, I'll take it. You want to switch?
Yeah.
I'll take 900 grand.
Yeah, he's,
And then he corrected himself and he says, I make plenty of money. I don't make a lot of money playing football.
Well, playing football and playing football in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Where it's just so expensive to live. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. Get roommates.
Yeah, I wonder if they're like the old A's. You remember the A's had like the house where like Tim Hudson and Mark Mulder and then they would cycle, like Eric Chavez lived there for a little while. Like whatever.
I don't want to know anything that happened in that house.
No, that no. Sounds, like, yeah, terrible. But when guys would come up from the minors, they would, you know, take a room in the house.
Huh.
Yeah. So
I don't think it was like that. I know Alfredo Gutierrez was in there.
Yeah.
Shout out to Fredo. No longer with the 49ers. That's fine. The Doug McDermott, we asked and the Kings delivered. We asked for news to break.
During our show. Shout out to Money.
I'm now more, because we wondered yesterday when the Doug McDermott news broke, is this the move?
Mm-hmm.
Was this the kind of response? Jalen McDaniels got traded. There's something else in the hopper. Was this it? And the further we get from the Jalen McDaniels trade, the more I think this is it. The more I think this is kind of the move.
Yeah.
And they're just giving themselves flexibility against the cap.
I think that's what we're learning. I'm not going to say that like down the road that they're not going to make some move and go into the luxury tax.
Yeah.
We don't know, you know, we always like fight with Rory in the chat about what it is that all this mm-hmm. means and whether the Kings will ever go into the luxury tax. They might not.
Mm-hmm.
And they might also want to see what they have before they go into the luxury tax.
Yeah.
They might want to see how this team functions and looks on the court.
Sure.
And so when they make a move to save money like this, they save some money,
mm-hmm.
but they also sent out like millions of dollars to cover part of his salary. Mm-hmm. But when you make a move like this, there's usually all of these mechanisms that we look at of like, why did you do this move? What advantages does it have? And one of the advantages is that you can go out and sign a guy like Doug McDermott and stay under the luxury tax.
Well, because how many times have we said, we don't know if the Kings will go into the tax. Maybe they won't.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be the thing that handcuffs them for the next 5 years because they're not willing to do that. I don't think that's the case, but we'll see. But we always talk about how if you're going to go into the tax, if you're going to do that, it has to be for that move that puts you over the top.
No, yes.
It has to be. If they're sitting at the trade deadline and they are number two in the West and there's some player out there that they can go get in a trade that's going to put them into the luxury tax, but man, it makes them the best team in the West. It makes them real contenders.
Mm-hmm.
Then yeah, I would be stunned if they didn't do that. But anyways, Doug McDermott was not that move.
No.
And you're not going to go add Doug McDermott and be like, yeah, well, because if you're one penny into the luxury tax, it counts.
Yeah.
So
you no longer get the luxury tax like check.
Yes.
For the teams that are below the tax.
Yes.
And so, again, if you're a million under the luxury tax and you go out and you sign Doug McDermott mm-hmm. and he puts you a million over, all of a sudden you have a whole bunch of problems, right?
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, what it does is it not only does it cost you the $1 million, you go $1 million over, it's dollar for dollar. So you mm-hmm. owe $1 million in luxury tax dollar and you don't get the 11, 12, 13 mm-hmm. million dollars for revenue sharing from the luxury tax paying
right.
teams.
Right.
So again, that player better be worth it. If there was a player that you thought would impact like 4 or 5 wins,
mm-hmm.
okay, I'm in.
Yeah, for sure.
But like, I don't think anyone is expecting that Doug McDermott is going to have that type of impact on the Kings. He's a veteran that you would like to have mm-hmm. because he can shoot and because he's a good teammate and because he's a smart basketball player and he knows his role. He's all of those things matter.
You
right?
feel way better about Doug McDermott playing 10 minutes than you did Jalen McDaniels?
Yes, exactly.
And that's I think, kind of the long and short of it here.
Yeah, and there's a cost to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I just, my only concern is that whether you're going to regret that cost down the road.
Sure.
And like we talked about this a little bit before we came on, like let's just say that the Kings did want to go out and trade for a guy like Brandon Ingram. We see these rumors out there. The Kings aren't done. They might still be interested in Brandon Ingram or Zach LaVine. First of all, the Zach LaVine thing, just punt into space. Like I don't want to get into all the semantics of it, but if you have it, what it would take for the Kings to accumulate $35 million plus in salary in order to get Zach LaVine, to trade out players to get Zach LaVine and still stay under the hard cap, which at, you know, the $178.1 million, whatever it is, the first apron, in order to do that, what it would take is just like crazy talk. And there's almost no way to do it. But to get to the Brandon Ingram contract, so he's at $36 million, you know, you're going to have some confusion as to how much money you have to actually come up with in order to trade him. But if you're, say you're chasing a Brandon Ingram and you're going to go make, you know, we all kind of can piece together the salaries that work. Mm-hmm. You can't trade Malik Monk. You can't trade DeMar DeRozan because they just signed their deals and you have to wait 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But that means that you're looking at like a contract like Kevin Herter's, a contract like Trey Lyles, and then you need another $4 or $5 million contract. And yesterday, 2 days ago, it was Jalen McDaniels
mm-hmm.
that would have fit into that deal, and the deal would work for those three players. And then whatever compensation, draft compensation, whatever. The only way that deal works now is with Devin Carter. And that's because you still have to match that money because you're going over the cap. So now you're like, okay, or can you piece together, can you get a team like New Orleans to take on, I don't know, two other young players, but even like if we're talking Colby Jones, you don't have another player that you could throw in
mm-hmm.
on top of that. And so you need to come up with $4 or $5 million. You don't have the other players. So unless you're giving up Keon Ellis, then at $2 million, then him and Colby Jones would equal the $4 million. You could get up to the dollar amount. So it's just really difficult. And so that's why when they made the move, you have to wonder, okay, is something big coming?
Mm-hmm.
Was it that they were working with a team and they said, hey, we'll do the deal, but we don't want to take on that contract? That happens in the NBA. But mm-hmm. at this point, it's looking more and more and more like they just did this deal to get below the cap and below the tax. And again, I'm not going to blame them for that. It's, mm-hmm. you know, you need to manipulate the cap the way that you can.
They didn't even, the Spurs waived the dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like they traded a rotation player to go like, oh, hey, it's so important Did we get? No, they got rid of a guy who wasn't going to be on their team or who wasn't going to play.
The only
to get a guy who might play a little.
The only thing you're concerned about in this deal is a 2031, 7 years from now, second round pick. That's the only thing that Kings fans should be worried about.
Do you know how long 7 years is?
It's a long time.
On this day 7 years ago, Jimmy Garoppolo was still on the Patriots.
Oh, yikes.
7 years is a long ass time, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, De'Aaron Fox was entering his rookie season.
Yeah, come on.
He's now going into year 8. Yeah, wild. Anyway, it's just kind of interesting. Yeah, when you look at the whole, you pull back and you look at the whole entire what they're doing and why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not simple. And they have to play like three-dimensional chess. Like this, yeah. The salary cap adds this element that makes everything very confusing and very difficult to manage. And I know a lot of people just get all excited every time, you know, our friend Sean Cunningham tweets out that, you know, yeah, they're trading Jalen McDaniels to the Spurs, but there's something else happening. It's part of a sequence of events.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone's like, oh my gosh, something big's happening. And sometimes it's not.
Well, same. Like that's human nature, though.
Yeah. Yeah,
you hear, hey, they made this trade to clear up space because something else is happening. It's like, oh, snap. Here we go. And especially because there was all this stuff with Kyle Kuzma as recently as the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, okay, they're getting closer to the season. We just saw a Karl Anthony Towns move happen. That was a whole big trade. It's understandable that you'd get really excited when you hear, hey, they cleared all this space and now have, what, $13 million to play with?
Under
I think it
the
was,
hard
under
cap.
Under the hard cap.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, you might get a nice little player.
Yeah.
And then, McDermott.
Doug McDermott. And like, look, we don't know also what McDermott's contract looks like. He might not be on a fully guaranteed deal. I think he probably is, just because of years of service and stuff, but I wouldn't be totally shocked if he was like, if he had 500,000 or 750,000 guaranteed until January. So Yeah, we'll have to see.
We got Golden Sky Beer and Country Music Festival tickets to give away. Actually, you know what? We're going to be nice. We're going to give away two pairs today.
What?
Yeah, dude. I'm just doing it.
Do it.
Well, because so here's the deal. Just to be 100% transparent with everybody, we were supposed to give away a pair tomorrow.
Oh,
of 3 day passes. We're supposed to give that away tomorrow, but doors open at 11 a.m.
Oh, that's tough.
And our show starts at 10, so we were gonna have to like, yeah, hey, we're giving away these tickets. You have to enter. We'll notify the winner, and then you got to go pick up your pass, and then you got to go.
Yeah, that's tough.
So we're giving away two today to make those logistics easier for the winner.
Awesome.
You're all welcome.
That's right.
Me and Jackie and Promotions worked that out together.
Sweet.
And by that, I mean, I said, hey, is there a solution to this? And she came up with the solution.
All right. So is it the person who's number 27 and number 28 or what? How are we doing this?
Yeah, that's 100% how we're going to do that.
Oh, sweet.
We'll give that away coming up here in a bit. I want to do some housekeeping before we get out of here. The NLCS continues tonight. The Dodgers and Mets, the Dodgers with a thunderous 8-0 victory last night at Citi Field. 4:30 p.m. coverage begins game 4 between the Dodgers and Mets. I'm at the point where I just want games.
Yeah.
I would like to see the Mets win just because they're the kind of lovable losers here. But I just want games. I want both these series to go to 7.
Okay.
I'm a little bit afraid Yankees Guardians are going to go like 5.
Yeah, that.
So I need the Mets to get it together a little bit here.
Okay.
And figure this out and can I get 6? Can we get it to 6? Can we get a good game 6? I would take a good game 6.
Okay.
I'm not going to be super selfish and ask for a game 7.
It does kind of feel like the Yankees are just going to just roll.
I think they're steamrolling these
games. Yeah, it's just like they look like a professional team that's walking in, and the other team's like, oh, shoot, I don't know that we belong here. What's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Guardians are good. It's not like they stink. The Yankees just kind of feel like they are they're a juggernaut right now.
Yep.
All right. We got tickets to give away. I want to keep, we got a little bit sidetracked on the Doug McDermott thing. I want to bring that back because there's an angle of that we didn't get to. We'll have more King stuff coming up for you in the second hour as well. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. You're listening to The Insiders, and we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320. That's Sacramento's sports leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.